Are you ready for this?
Sean Merriman, a one-hand sack. Boom, 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 out go the lights.
This is Lights Out with Sean Merriman.
What's up, guys? We're back with another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. And we're going boxing today, man, and it's strictly entertainment. And I know I talked about it a few weeks ago with Jake Paul's fight and Ben Askren. We got his trainer, his right-hand man, BJ Flores, a former high school football player himself, but also a hell of a boxer, had a hell of a career. And, you know, I can speak, you know, on the first term basis. I was there. I seen the work they put in. And just this wild, wild road that they've been on as far as with Jake Paul and him growing the sport. And, you know, look, it's entertainment. He has a great following. The pay-per-view shows that they're entertained and they want to see more fights like this. And we're going to find out next what's for Jake Paul and his trainer, BJ Flores. Yeah, what's going on, man? So what's next, man? You guys have been kind of flying out and doing, you know, I'm sure it's been a whirlwind. And I talked to the Triller guys down there, Ryan and everybody, and I know they're planning something here, what, in September or October? That sound about right?
Jake's agent has been working on that kind of low-key, so I don't have all the details exactly, but
yeah,
I mean, they definitely want to have him back. I think late August, early September is probably the timeline they're looking at. And we got a couple names floating around right now. I can't really say because I don't want to get in any situation where, you know, they don't want to do the deal after I say it. So
let me, I'm going to back up, man, because okay. You used to play football too, right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, never at a level like.
No, NFL no, but
level,
you,
but
you
I
were,
played, yeah, I played.
Yeah, you were all state, right?
Yeah, I was all state. And then I was before my sophomore season at Snow, I was a preseason All-American wide receiver. You know, I injured my hamstring about, honestly, before our first game. I had three touchdowns in our final scrimmage before the season started. And I did something to my hamstring that same, like, the next week, and I could just never recover. And I was injured my entire sophomore season. So I didn't really have a breakout year. I didn't do that good. I had, like, 40 catches, like, 7 touchdowns. Like, it was all right, but nothing crazy. And just kind of, you know, pushed me over to boxing because I do boxing half the year, and I play football the other half the year. But after you're a JUCO, you go to Division I school. I mean, it's 24/7 on football. You can't mess around. So I chose boxing.
So I always say this too, and I think a lot of, especially former athletes, that get injured or come across some, maybe had a bad coach,
yeah,
you know, got put in a bad situation, maybe got in trouble, whatever that is, that end up transitioning over into combat sports. What is you? Because I'm pushing guys now. I say, look, if you get injured early or you know you're done with the game early, pick up some form of combat sport. I don't care if it's boxing, MMA. Do something. What was a deciding factor, man, to kind of push you over to getting into boxing?
Well, I won my first national title when I was 10 years old. So I won my second national title when I was 11. I won my third when I was 15. I won the national Golden Gloves over all 50 states when I was 18 years old at 178 pounds. I mean, I was always one of the top boxers in the country. And then I won the U.S. Championships, which is the biggest, the tournament that they use to decide the Olympics, the Olympic team. I won that in 2001, 2002. I won every tournament in America. I won the Four Nations tournament against France and Germany and Australia. I won the Korea-China duels. And I started getting a lot of offers to turn pro in boxing and, you know, good offers. You know, the kind of money, the kind of contracts that you don't really get offered unless, you know, you're an Olympian. So that's why I went ahead and I turned pro the year before the Olympics. But the kid I beat, Devin Vargas, he was the Olympian for 2004 as a heavyweight. I beat him all three times I fought him. So, you know, he thanked me whenever I turned pro a year early. But, you know, that was kind of a deciding factor. But what I would tell people is just, man, like, look, like, just competing every day, it's very important. I think it's just important to compete in anything you're doing, you know, in your job and your anything you want to do, just compete. And it brings out the best in you. So any guys who get injured, you know, like hand-to-hand combat like this, it gives these athletes that their careers are maybe terminated a little early from an injury or whatever, it gives them opportunities to compete, which is very valuable for my mental well-being.
No, 100%. And I tell people now, even why I train the way I do is number one, mentally.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
You know, emotionally, you get up, you got a reason to get up. That's what you need, first of all. You got a reason to compete. You got a reason to get up. So great boxing career. And then you fast forward now on to how did you come up? What were the first times you meet Jake Paul? How did that happen?
I came out to Big Bear before his fight with Gibb, January 28th of 2020. So I was out there December in Big Bear, and I came out as a sparring partner. I sparred him twice, and then I just saw a lot of potential in him, man. He's a really tough kid. I liked him. He's nothing like what people think he is, like, online. He's nothing even like that. So I had a real good experience with him. He was such a hard worker, and I noticed how hard he worked in the very beginning, and I really liked that about him. He's dedicated. He did everything we asked him to do. Man, he was just – he works his ass off. So that's when I first met him, December of 2019.
So I even tap onto that because a lot of people do ask me about it. I said, look, man, this dude works.
He does.
So when I came up to the Big Bear with you guys,
yeah,
and I stayed for those couple of days,
yep,
I'm not going to lie, I had the same outlook on Jake just as everybody else did. YouTuber, yep, social media,
exactly,
looking for attention, this and this. And I saw something completely different. And we've both been around professional athletes our,
yes,
entire lives.
Yes.
So we know how guys work. So the first thing that I noticed is that he was a total opposite of what I thought I was going to see when I came there. He worked hard, pushed through, didn't bitch or complain.
No.
And I said, okay, when I saw that, I said, this kid got a real chance. And so I'm vouching on that because I know a lot of people want to say, oh, he's not doing this, or he's doing that, or he's doing whatever. So him being a raw athlete, even the day we ran on the field,
yeah,
on the football field,
oh,
that,
yeah,
day, I said, man, this dude, he pushes like hell. He,
oh, yeah,
actually just wants to win. He's a winner at heart.
100%, man. You're right about that. And you just, and it's good that you saw it firsthand because you can, I mean, you've been around pro athletes here. I mean, he won't get his credibility till he beats more people. And I understand that it's part of the game, but the kid is working, man. Trust me. And that's not even when he started getting good. He really started getting good when we went to Vegas for those 4 or 5 months. He was sparring with everybody all over the – I mean, good pros that he has no business being in there with. But because his fundamentals and his basic technique is so good, he can do 2 or 3 things that will give anybody a problem. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter who it is. He'll give somebody a problem with, you know, even good guys. He'll give problems with these 2 or 3 things that he does really well, which I'm not going to disclose. But his fundamentals are very good. His technique's very good. His spacing's good. He's got a great left hand, which, you know, Sean, the left hand – will take you around the world. Your right hand will take you around the block. So he's got that left hand. And Muhammad Ali, I'm not comparing him to Muhammad Ali, but I'm saying the importance of the left hand is so important. And we've really worked and developed that. So he's coming along really nicely.
And I know he's part of the other pro boxers.
Oh, yeah.
So when I see people, what do you say when people say, oh, yeah, he's fighting a YouTuber or he beat Ben Askren? What do you say to that? Because I know, and you know, that he's sparred other pro boxers, other real quality guys. Are you just sitting back saying, okay, you just wait? Or are you guys, is it kind of getting under your skin because you know what he's already done?
If I disclose some of the videos that I got of Jake beating up on some good pros, like, trust me, it would be it'd be eye-opening. But, you know, in the business of boxing, we don't do that. We don't post sparring videos of guys that we're, you know what I mean? We don't do that. So a couple of straggler guys who came in the gym, we post that. But nobody that I respect do we post. Just out of respect and just kind of an unspoken rule in boxing. But if people saw what I saw in the gym every day, man, there would be no questions about it. You've seen a little glimpse of it, Sean, but even in the last 6-8 months, man, he's really turned on to another level. He's really something. And he's just working so hard. He's got such a good team around him. He's so focused. There's no distractions. And he just listens, man. He's like a sponge. He really does. We watch film. We spar. We watch film. I believe film study is very important. I feel like there's a lot of advantages that you can gain by watching your opponent and not having the old-fashioned mentality like, oh, I'm going to whoop his ass. It doesn't matter. I pick up little things. I watch people, what they do. My dad was very big on film when I was a kid. I would always watch the guy who I was fighting the next night in the tournament. My brothers would be over filming them in the ring. And I would be fighting on one ring, and the next guy who I'd fight, the winner, my brothers would be filming him and watching him. So we'd go home at night, and we'd watch the film. We'd break it down, and I'd have a full game plan coming in on day 2 of the tournament, day 3 of the tournament. And I feel like that's something that I brought to Jake's camp that – it's very effective. He's very smart. He's studious. He pays attention. And we look for little things, little opportunities that we can take advantage of. We don't try to do a lot of things, but what we do really well.
No, no doubt. And so he's going to continue to get better.
No question.
No matter if – and people forget that he's only been boxing for a couple of years.
3 fights, bro.
Do you think – now, see, when I watch Jake and knowing him as a person, right, I don't care about just, you know, everything else.
Yeah.
But just knowing him as a person. So,
of course.
But when I see him doing some of the other stuff, do you ever think just a little bit like, all right, Jake, that shit is a little bit out there. You know, it's a little bit too much. Or do you say, you know what, it's part of the sport. It is what it is.
I kind of do the latter. You know, I kind of say, like, Jake's the the social media, you know, expert. He knows how to get people, get under people's skin. He knows how to, you know, create a buzz. And I'm more old fashioned. I'm just like, I'm going to stay in my lane. I'm going to do what I got to do. I'm going to clock in every day and be ready. But I don't really understand all the other stuff sometimes, but I mean, whatever works for him. But I know exactly what you mean. I'm just more old fashioned.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Yeah, no, because I'm in the middle. Like, I got that old school. Like,
me too.
You know, I'm not doing on this, you know, bullshit out here where I'm chasing God and doing certain. But then also too, it's like, okay, the reason why Jake is in that position, is because he does some of this shit.
Yeah.
And as long as I think we understand that, and he's backing it up. That's most important for me watching him. Is that he's backing it up. Now, people could say he didn't fight a real fighter and all the other stuff. Ben Askren, it was a real fighter. I mean, not a boxer, but he was a real fighter. And then it almost reminded me of, you know, I got into some fights back in the day where you go up and somebody like, oh, yeah, he can't do that to me. And then you go and you punish him and you do something to him. And then the next guy say, oh, yeah, I bet he can't do that to me. Then you punish him. And so it's always another guy saying he won't do that to me. Is that what you guys seeing? Because I just seen Tyron Woodley, call him out. Some other guys call him out.
He can get it next too. He can get it if he wants to say he can get it. No problem.
So you guys open for a fight with Tyron Woodley.
Tyron Woodley has no. Trust me, I respect him. He's a very very good, MMA fighter. He's excellent. I was a fan of him, but he doesn't know nothing about that ring like that. He'll go out the exact same way. I'm telling you, he can get it too. No problem. We got a list of guys that can get it. Tyrone's on the very top. He wants to step up. Shit, he can get it too. You know, with all due respect, and I'm not trash talking him at all. I'm just saying if he wants to, there's no problem. We're not going nowhere.
So I agree, and I think that's one of the ones that the people would have actually rather enjoy seeing. And then two, Tyrone is respected, and what he do.
Yes.
And so by Jay going out and having a good performance. Now you start to silence a lot of these critics.
Right.
What do you think it'll stop? Because what I see right now is coming from Jake's way, and I know he do all the other shit, and it's part of what he do. But when do you think it'll stop? Where people going to sit back and say, you know what? Okay, this dude can go.
I mean, if Ben would have made it to the second or third round, then people would have seen a lot of Jake's skill set. I'm telling you, these couple little things that we do good. It's going to knock a lot of people out. I'm telling you, it's going to knock a lot of people out. So once we get into round two and three, then people will see more of the skill set. But it's going to take him probably going two or three rounds in one of these fights with somebody who's well-respected for people to actually start giving him the respect. But I see it in the gym every day. I mean, he does it for six rounds. He does it for eight rounds. I'm rotating sparring partners in the whole time, bringing in fresh guys, always putting him at a disadvantage to where any moment of the fight, like he's so prepared coming into these fights, Sean. He is so overly prepared for these fights. Like, Ben, I said it at the press conference like 2 weeks before the fight. I said, Ben has no idea what he's getting into. He has no clue. And by the time, you know, the bell rings to that first round, it's going to be too late. But I just work so hard on making sure Jake is prepared for any situation. It doesn't matter what it is. A boxer, a banger, a guy who's got good condition, guy's a good inside fighter, guy's good on the outside. We work everything, bro. He's so over-prepared for these fights. I put him in with a million different styles of sparring. I didn't only try to go find guys like Ben Askren. I found everybody. We had calls out to everybody, bro. He was sparring bare knuckle champions, Andrew Tabidi, Jean Pascal, UFC guys, MMA guys, people from all over the place, wrestlers. I put him in with everything because that's what raises his boxing IQ. That's what teaches him how to deal with certain situations when he gets in the ring. Unless you've done it in sparring and you've trained for it, it's tough when you get under those lights. So I got to put all these different situations in front of Jake so he knows how to handle it when he sees that style. So, bro, he's just doing so good right now. Everything we ask, and it's just like there's so many names out there. Like, who do you think? Who would you want to see him fight?
You know, I think to me personally, Tyron Woodley would be what in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because you got Tyron Woodley, who's a champion in MMA.
Right.
He's been around, and I remember watching him in the mid 2000s when he was first coming on, and just him, you know, kind of progressing and being and whatever. Now. And I think by Jake having a strong outing against Woodley, I think it's going to turn a lot of heads because of how respected Woodley is. Now, Ben Askren, right. People can say whatever. You know, I'll tell you this. One thing that pissed me off about the Ben Askren thing, and I had a solo podcast like a week or two ago or a few weeks ago, right after the fight, is when people say the fight's rigged, right? That's, to me, me personally, that was the ultimate sign of, like, not even hate. It's like a disrespect level. Like, you got a guy like Ben Askren that is decorated in what he did, right? So nobody's taking a dive. He's not trying to get his ass whooped in front of millions of people.
No.
And then you got Jake, who was put in the work to actually go and knock him out. And I don't know which MMA fighter you guys were sparring or training with before, but he called it. He said that Ben was going to get knocked out. So when I seen that, I said, man, this sucks. You know, you hate on this kid so much that you're not willing to acknowledge that this was a clean and brutal knockout.
Everybody who Jake sparred this entire camp came out of the ring saying, Jake's knocking Ben out, no question about it. So it's one of those things where, just like you said, man, like, sometimes you got to get in there with somebody to see it and believe it for yourself. And every single sparring partner we had coming up the fight, after the fight, they came in looking at Jake one way, they came out with a completely different look for him. So he gets people's respect because he does a couple things very, very good. And he does them at a very high level with his distance and his spacing and his taunts and his jabs and changing levels. And that gives people a lot of problems, man. So people come out of the ring, if they spar him, they're like, this motherfucker can really fight. He really can. So it is what it is. He's still kind of new. People are like, you know, still trying to wrap their head around the fact that a YouTuber, you know, a Disney character, third place in the Challenger games, like, he says all this funny stuff to, like, try to, you know, bring, like, show, like, where he was before now. But it's like, people are starting to catch on. Everybody that spars and comes out of the ring saying, man, this kid can really fight. So, you know, we're heading the right direction.
What's the ultimate goal? Because I see he partnered with a hedge, you know, he got a hedge fund thing going on.
Yeah.
He got he's got a ton of stuff going on.
Yeah.
What's the ultimate goal? I know you guys, I mean, is it for him to, you know, get to a Conor McGregor, or is it to get to a big name boxer, whoever that may be? What's the ultimate goal with you guys?
I think the ultimate goal, I mean, that's probably a question really Jake could answer better than me, but just making big entertaining fights with people that, you know, fighters that, you know, people that want to actually see him fight, whether that's Conor, whether that's Nate Diaz, whether it's Nick Diaz, whether it's guys like that. I mean, those are tough guys. Those are credible guys. I don't care if you're talking about in the octagon, if you're talking about in the boxing ring, those are well-respected, tough guys. And those are the kind of fights I think that Jake wants eventually. People talk about Tommy Fury, the nephew of Tyson Fury, who's, you know, 4-0 also. I mean, it's like, There's a lot of big.
How did he jump in? Because he was talking on the behalf of Tyson.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I saw that Jake was, you know, making fun of him as he do whatever, you know, with everybody. But how did that happen? Did he just jump in a conversation with Tyson?
No, I'm not sure exactly how it happened, but it just all of a sudden, you know, he starts talking. He's got a good social media following. I guess he was on some reality show in the UK and he's well known. So, you know, on paper, it kind of made sense. You know, he's, you know, Tommy Fury, he's Tyson Fury, the heavyweight champion's little brother. I mean, come on. Like, these gypsies grow up a different way, man. These are some tough, tough, tough guys. Very tough guys. Rugged guys. The father and the uncle, Peter. I mean, these guys are no bullshit guys. I mean, these guys really can teach you how to fight. So that's another big name, too. But but as far as the MMA guys, like, I like Nate Diaz. I like Nick Diaz.
Yep.
I like those guys. They're tough, tough, tough kids from California. Give them a payday, and they put on a great event, a big fight, and everybody wins. You know what I'm saying? So, and Jake's ready for those guys, and nobody in the MMA world thinks Jake is. So that's what makes it more intriguing. You know, people will say, "Oh no, there's no way Jake's going to beat Nate Diaz or Nick Diaz." So, but those kind of guys are tough, credible guys. And those are the kind of fights that, you know, I like for Jake.
Good, man. I can't wait to see it. I'm happy for Jake, man. I hope he stays on his path.
He is.
And I'm happy for you, man, because I really did. This coming to me personally, being around you guys, he needed you around him.
Yeah.
Not, you know, your discipline that you bring and your experience. And then with his mindset and ability, because people understand when you're that big, it's hard to get through to people.
Man.
You know, it's hard to get through. And for somebody to be as successful as he is, as young, and still be able to open his ears and listen, he's going to go places, man. So big credit to you and what y'all building over there. You know, I'll be down there soon, man. I got to come and see the Miami crib and check y'all out down there.
Anytime, man. Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. And like I said, just any shedding any positive light on Jake about what he's trying to do, what he's, you know, all the obstacles he's got to deal with all the time, like all the shit that comes out of the media and with his training and everything, it's just like the kid's got a full plate. He's got a lot to deal with, and he handles it so professionally every day. And my job is just to make sure anything he needs, I got his back on whatever it is, and more team. So that's it.
Now, you're a blessing to him, dog. Hey, but cool, man. I'll come down there and see you soon, bro. Appreciate you.
All right, man. Thanks, Sean. See you guys.
Thanks, guys, for listening to another Lights Out podcast with me, Sean Merriman. That was a lot of insight, man. It was cool for me to be there. And look, I call myself a tweener, right? Because, you know, I have an old school mentality. I played football, you know, back in early mid-2000s. And football was different then. And, you know, I always said to myself, I don't want to be the old guy and come back and say, oh, yeah, it's soft now. So I understand the social media side. I understand the discipline of the sport of boxing. And it was a great conversation with BJ Flores, who's Jake Paul's trainer. And thank him for coming on. Thank you guys for listening in to another Lights Out podcast. Me, Sean Merriman. Keep subscribing. Keep leaving those great reviews. I try to read all of them. But it's up to you. It's all you guys. It's really supporting the podcast. I guess you like what you're hearing. So we'll be back next week with another one. And stay tuned.